Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Alongside Taylor in the backfield on the 3rd and 4. This side, end zone, touchdown Johnson.
Well, we don't care about them people. We don't care. Like, if you doubt us or doubt someone, like, we don't really care. Like, we all believe in each other. We all have faith in each other. We all hold each other accountable. And we believe we have what we need in order to have success. You know what I mean? So we don't really care about nobody else that don't support us or nobody else that don't believe in us. Like, it's just irrelevant.
They wanna be down with the king.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
Well, that was the David Johnson touchdown, followed by courtesy of CBS Sports. And then it was Mark Ingram talking about, we don't care. We don't care what people think outside this building. It was Philip Lindsay that cared because everybody was calling the Texans scumbuckets, you'll remember.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't remember anyone calling scumbuckets.
I've heard people be really, frankly, blasé about the Texans and just kind of sleeping on the Texans, not really excited about them. I don't remember anyone so aggressively calling them scumbuckets.
No, that was a little bit more aggressive than I'd heard anybody. But
I heard antipathy. But I didn't hear.
Yeah, no, I heard a bunch of people not buying tickets. That's what I heard. But I will say this, and you know, we are going to take it with a grain of salt because it was the Jaguars. We all get it. But that was a much. They looked like a football team. They looked like a very organized, well coached. They didn't have the confusion. The plays running. They did everything really, really well. And I realize it was against the Jaguars and a first time quarterback and a first time NFL head coach. Uh-huh. But damn, that was fun to watch.
That was unexpected to that level. You and I both like the Texans to win.
Yeah.
It was a good situation, and one of the things we pointed out, and it's true always. Number one, Trevor Lawrence is now the 14th consecutive first pick of the draft to lose his opener. 14 straight quarterbacks.
I thought it was 11, and he's 12 now. Is it 14 now?
It's 14, according to my NFL notes. The last one to win, first pick of the draft, last one to win, 19-10.
Really? David Carr?
David Carr. You got to go back to 2002 to find a first pick of the draft who won his opening game. And Trevor Lawrence, you know, Trevor Lawrence had issues with this. He did not look good. Didn't look poised, didn't look confident, other than save a few throws. And that's what we're talking about. You get a rookie going on the road in his first game against the Lovie Smith defense, they're going to have problems. That didn't shock me. What shocked me was that the Texans that they scored 37 points. I mean, they had some help from the turnovers, but I was impressed. Okay, Mark Ingram averaged 3.3 yards a carry, but it was a grind-out offense, and when they needed it most, when they were really moving the ball and on the move, they were running it fairly effectively. His long carry was 11, but they were staying ahead of the chains, and I thought Tim Kelly had a great game as a play caller. I said it late in the first quarter, thought the way that he had multiple formations, multiple pre- and post-snap movements to create some, you know, a little bit of confusion and some misdirection. I thought he did a great job. I thought Tim Kelly did a fantastic job. And then Tyrod Taylor was excellent. Yesterday, David Culley, the head coach of your Houston Texans, also a guy who's considered the most successful coach in Texans history at 1-0, he talked about the way that Tyrod Taylor ran the offense.
Well, I thought early in the game, we were a little off a little bit on some throws early in the game, but he settled down and you know, he and Brandon ended up making a couple of plays basically out of the pocket that end up allowing us to get some big plays, throwing the ball down the field. But again, he's a guy that's not going to make mistakes. He's going to take care of the football. That's part of who we are. And as long as he's doing that and running the offense and us being able to run the ball the way we were able to run the ball tonight, then you know, we'll have a chance to do what we need to do.
You know, he talked about and it's not I'm not even comparing the two, but there were a couple of plays, you know, off schedule plays where Terod was able to just get out of the pocket, run around, and he talked about the plays to Brandon Cooks, off schedule plays, and that's because Terod Taylor can use his legs. And here's what David Culley had to say about that.
He got out of some trouble today, which could have also been some trouble for us. We talked about that, but you know, basically, when you got a guy like that that has that kind of ability to do those things with his feet, you allow him to do that. As long as we don't have any minus yardage plays today, and we're very fortunate that you know he was able to get out of some things today.
Yeah, he was able to get out of some things.
One sack.
Yeah,
one sack for 2 yards. Deshaun.
One sack. Three. No interceptions.
Yeah. Two touchdowns. No interceptions. 21 of 33.
You know,
it was an efficient performance.
It was a very. It's 60%. Over 60%. 112.1 quarterback rating. Just one sack for 2 yards. He threw a couple of touchdown passes. Yeah, you're right. Tim Kelly did a great job. They looked like a very well, and that's the thing. I think we talked about this a little bit last week too. Is how organized are they going to be? It just seemed like they were everything that they're. And I know that it was, you know, they missed their mini camp, the 3-day mini camp, and it was like the ruination of the football team. Remember when they missed that mini camp?
They went bowling or barbecue. Or
no,
whatever.
They didn't do anything. Remember, he just called it off. He said, "Yo, the guys."
No,
worked
they
hard
had a
enough.
Team outing. Remember?
Oh,
they had a team outing. They didn't practice, and everyone's like, "What?
You guys are so bad."
It's fine.
No. Well,
I'd like to see some. You know, I mean, you have limited amount of teaching stuff, but it's not the end of the world.
No, I mean, it's so far before. And they just looked at Terod Taylor and Brandon Cooks looked great. What a catch by Farrell Brown with the one hand.
Yeah.
They just picked up Danny Amendola, who made
catches.
A big contribution.
He gets, was it four catches
five.
Or five? He had
five
catches,
on five 30, targets.
35, you know, 34 yards, but five catches.
It didn't seem like he was on the field even.
He wasn't even in practice for a week.
No, but he didn't play that many plays. You know, David John, they use the running backs well.
Now, one thing to keep in mind, here's what the running backs average per carry. And moving forward, if you want to keep some perspective here, 3.3 yards per carry for Mark Ingram, 3.1 yards per carry for Phillip Lindsay, David Johnson, 3.3. The long rushes, Ingram, 11, Lindsay, 8, David Johnson, 5. That should offer you some perspective moving forward that this might be a little bit of foreshadowing of the issues running the football, which I think is it's going to be incumbent that Tim Kelly continue to use some zone read looks, which he did.
He did.
And that's when they were most effective. When they were using zone read stuff, they had their bigger runs. When they went to straight handoff plays, it was like Jacksonville got downhill and swarmed on them. But honestly, they ran for 160 yards. Like, I wouldn't have known that was the average yards per carry unless I looked at the
Well, you'll take 3.9, but Terod Taylor's 40 yards, and especially the one where at the end of the half, where he flipped, where he pitched it to David Johnson.
Well, that's
that was the end of the half, and you're scrambling to just score whatever. So, but yeah, they didn't run the ball well. There's no question about it. But I do like that they ran the ball 41 times.
They threw it
33.
I mean, I don't want to say imposed their will, but you know what? They won the clock battle by a full 10 minutes, 35:04 to 24:56. They won. What do we talk about this entire time, John? A team like the Houston Texans are going to have to win two battles. They got to shorten games by winning with time of possession, and they're going to have to win takeover battle. And that's what they did again throughout the preseason. Like, this is now turning into this is a thing now.
Yeah.
The Texans take the ball away under Lovie Smith. And yes, everything we say is going to be, just knowing the background, we're saying, you know, a grain of salt, Trevor Lawrence, rookie outing, first outing ever, and all that stuff. Jacksonville's a bad team. They've now lost 16 consecutive games. They're the 11th team in Super Bowl history. in the history, in the Super Bowl era that has lost 16 consecutive games, the Jacksonville Jaguars. So we understand all that, but it's okay to be happy for the home team. I saw people yesterday who seemed disgusted when I put anything out there, a positive stuff during, like, hey, you know, Tim Kelly's really doing this well. David Culley is releasing the Kraken. You know, it's kind of tongue in cheek a little bit, but the Texans are scoring a bunch of points. And people, some of the response is like, it's just not going the way they wanted it to go.
What did they want?
They wanted the Texans to get embarrassed badly.
Because they bet on the Jags because they were dumb.
Maybe, but I think they're so mad. I think there are Texans fans who said, I'm an ex-Texan fan now. I'm a fan free agent. And they want the Texans to lose to make it easier for them. And I just don't get that. Like, I get calling them out for being a bad organization or whatever it is.
No.
I just don't get being wildly unhappy about.
I understand that if Bill O'Brien was, and I think that there's some leftover because of Jack Easterby. But if you're thinking about Jack Easterby, maybe. Well, Cal's gone. Cal, yeah, Bill's gone. That hatred. I mean, I just couldn't watch them before and go, these are guys I want to root for because I just saw Bill O'Brien's face on the sideline. I just couldn't root for that guy. Just, it was so hard. But David Culley, by all accounts, is just a really good guy. And you got to give...
He's getting a miracle shot at a head coach.
You got to give him credit. What Nick Caserio took over, this roster, and you say, well, they're not even trying. Anything that they say is just a lie because they don't want to win. They just got rid of Bradley Roby. I'm going to tell you, Bradley Roby is addition by subtraction.
Yeah.
Because they're building a bunch of guys. Now, maybe they're not as talented. Bradley Roby's a really talented guy. But maybe they can get some talented guys in here that aren't a-holes. Because by all accounts, Bradley Roby was just not a good guy in that locker room or on that practice field. And they recognize that we got to change a culture of a-holes around here, starting at the top with Bill O'Brien. And those days are over. We got a good guy in here. I saw David Culley on the sidelines. You know, when Malik Collins, who just lost his mind a couple of times.
With that helmet, to the helmet, there was no reason for that. What are you doing?
It was the second one where they scored the touchdown. They scored the touchdowns right after both Malik Collins plays. And when he came over the sideline, it was still David Culley, you know, talking to him. And actually, you had to take him off the field because what a boneheaded play. But you still talk to him as opposed to the Bill O'Brien method. And, you know, maybe that's going to get through to these guys. Maybe it's not. Maybe David Culley is just Bo Culley and he's just going to be here for a short amount of time. But I'll tell you this. The game management, the letting the coaches coach, how much better is this coaching staff right now? Tim Kelly did not have Bill O'Brien meddling in his game plan.
What are we doing, Timmy? What are we doing?
He didn't have.
It's a Wednesday practice.
He didn't have Anthony Weaver on the sideline. Lovey and his defense. We got to talk about that. We haven't even touched on the defense, and we'll do that on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. What the defense did, how different it is from last. It's night and day from last year. Even if it's just one game.
You know what? Good for the hometown guys. I'm glad they got the win. First of all, I'm glad plus the points that they got the win. Obviously.
Well, I'm just glad by the money line that they got the win.
Yeah, that's right. But the bottom line is, you're right. With Bill O'Brien out of that room, it is more easy. And I don't care that a lot of these guys aren't going to be here in 2 years. It's irrelevant. If you do build a culture of, hey, this is what's expected, it's more likely to carry over, even if these aren't going to be the guys that see it through, or at least a lot of them.
Right.
But Ross Blacklock, when we come back, I do want to mention, I got some advanced stats here from NFL's research department. And Houston's top draft pick in the 2020 draft had a little impact yesterday. Ross Blacklock. I want to get to that.
All right. We'll do it on the other side. But right now, why don't you talk about how about a little jab at Bill O'Brien?
Sitejab.com. I've already done that. I'm not gonna throw him any more bones. That's it. Sitejab is gonna throw you a bone though. They're gonna build your website, and they're gonna do it with a very cost effective number for you. And building your website from scratch is something that a lot of you need to do. I know that you think you just need to reface your exterior, but the fact is you need it rebuilt from the back end all the way to the front end. And Sitejab makes it easy to do. They give you a very reasonable price. They are affordable. And it's really, frankly, you can't afford not to use them. They've been in business here in the Houston area for over two decades. They understand what it means to build a site that keeps people's eyes on the site. That's what they go through all the analytics. And they understand what the design features are that keep people looking. They help you integrate videos. They help you shoot the videos. They help you with brand recognition, logo creation, social media engagement. They do all that for you, and they can even add e-commerce to your website. Make your website really pop and translate those eyes into business dollars in your pocket by going to SiteJab, sitejab.com, S-I-T-E-Jab.com.
We'll take a short break. Stay tuned for more John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, 716 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So, we got a tropical storm here coming in. Looks like it could be. We'll see what happens tomorrow. Raining out there now. We were supposed to be at Wildcat Golf Club for the CCA golf tournament, but they canceled that because they knew this tropical storm coming in.
Last I heard, there's a decent chance of floods on Tuesday and Wednesday.
Yeah.
So I'm not coming in.
What? You live right down the street.
Preemptively. I was joking, but the fact that I live right down the street is the reason I probably can't. I live off of the Richmond area. That is without a boat. Do you know what happens there if it rains for more than 45 minutes in a row?
You do know you can take a left and go and then come down Westheimer.
Well, if you can get out of my neighborhood.
Well, what do you mean if you can get out of your neighborhood?
You can get out of my neighborhood.
Tomorrow morning, it's not even supposed to be here yet, okay?
It's not?
No.
Then what is all this stuff?
Well, this is just the outer layers.
This is a foreplay?
This is a little.
An appetizer?
A little drizzle. That's all it is, a little drizzle. I'm not even going to make it.
I'm already out.
Sleep in your office?
Yeah, how about that? What's in your office?
It's a thought if it were more comfortable.
And oh, by the way, you know, dinner with the kids, you could eat, you could watch. No,
I got Mason's birthday tomorrow.
Oh, crap. During a tropical storm.
Yeah, poor Mason.
By the way, on the CCA tournament, it wasn't canceled. They just postponed it to October 18th.
Right.
So we'll still be out there.
Postponed. Yeah,
we'll still go out there, play some golf.
Yeah, we're still going to
be out there. Got to wait till October.
Yep, we're going to be there in October. So we'll do that. We got Tiny's coming up on Friday, too, out in Deer Park. That's iffy.
Do we? Well, since it's supposed to rain for four straight days.
I don't know. We'll see.
I'm going to go ahead and cancel that one right now, too.
No, you can't cancel their tournament.
I just canceled your tournament, Tiny.
Try like 10 straight days of rain.
So we'll see. We'll see whether or not we get there. So defensively, how about they had three total interceptions last year? They had three yesterday. Trevor Lawrence, that last interception, holy crap. That was the worst, one of the worst throws you'll see out of a pro. I don't know what he was thinking or what. He was really discombobulated by the end of that football game. When 51 pass attempts for Trevor Lawrence in his first game, that's exactly, while they ran the ball 16 times, 51 pass attempts.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I understand he's the number one overall pick, but goodness gracious, you can't put everything on this kid. And then that's what they did. He did have three touchdown passes, one late that was garbage, but he can't throw the ball. He did have the three picks as well. He's going to be good, but if you look at the two teams right now, there's no question. When we broke this down on, I had the Jags finishing last in this division, and I'm gonna stick with that.
They looked really terrible. They're terrible. I don't know.
This was a one win team.
I think they can get better. I definitely think they can get better. I mean, Terrace Marshall didn't even have a catch. I think he'll be a factor before the year is over. You know, Trevor Lawrence is going to get better. He's just a rookie. They'll have some better games. But, you know, Urban Meyer, we've already seen that players are already starting. Like, the college to pro thing is really challenging. It's not a lock that team is going to continue to grow with Urban Meyer. There's no guarantee of that. And I would say your pick of them in last place certainly looks, and I think Aaron too, I don't know, or maybe Aaron had him in third.
No, I had him in third.
Yeah, and Texans last. I had Texans last. I don't think Texans. I think Texans might have a chance at four to five wins. I mean, especially if they're taking the ball away. That's the great unknown. If you take the ball away, you got to shut. Texans 26-1 when they're plus three takeaways historically in their career. Well, 26-1 when they're plus three. That's real. I would have never. I know plus three is a lot. I still would have thought that maybe Dallas was plus three the other day and they lost.
What did RJ say last week? He's like, what do we look at? We look at turnovers.
The
you
huge
tell me
indicator.
Who to. Now, it's not always the case, but you give me three more turnovers than the other team, and you're probably going to win football.
It's a market indicator.
Yeah,
it really is. It's a market indicator. But Ross Blacklock, I mentioned this before. Ross Blacklock, last year was a nothing year for him. And J.J. Watt had made some comments, and I'd heard behind the scenes that J.J.'s comments when he took shots at guys not – you know, getting in there, not putting in the work and all that stuff, that Blacklock was one of the guys that he was referencing. Matter of fact, I heard the three names of guys he was potentially talking about, and Blacklock was one of them. Blacklock has been much more active this offseason. Maybe he's becoming a little bit more of a pro. He's a penetrating player. This is a much better defense for him to be a part of. Lovie Smith. This is what Blacklock does. He penetrates. He gets into gaps. He gets upfield. He is a very athletic player and rusher. Yesterday, he had four quarterback pressures, including one turnover that was forced by pressure on 19 different pass rushes for Blacklock. He had a 21.1% pressure percentage, meaning legitimate pressures of the quarterback when he rushes. 19 rushes, 21% with four pressures. That's pretty good. That's pretty good for the young guy, and one of them turned into a turnover. And this is an idea. You know, I talk about maybe guys not buying into Urban Meyer. We'll see. Players have clearly bought into Lovie Smith, for example, defensively, because everyone's playing like their hair's on fire. The energy level and the desire to get past your guy or to fight hard all the way through a rep, it's much, much more obvious than last year where guys were quitting on reps, in the middle of reps. They have not started doing that, and hopefully they won't, but they're getting after it. And when you see results... And when the Texans players see results, even in the preseason, when they see results, you can tell that they buy in a little more and a little more. Limited athletically, that's going to be a problem. But three interceptions. Justin Reed got the first one, then Vernon Hargraves, and then Christian Kirksey. Three interceptions for the Texans. This was going on throughout the preseason. This is what Lovey preaches. And if you are playing like your hair's on fire up front with your front four and any type of blitz packages – and you get some pressure on lesser quarterbacks, you're going to create opportunities. And right now, Trevor Lawrence is a lesser quarterback. No, right now, he is.
Well, we'll see against the more talent. This is, they're already, you know what their number is against Cleveland next week?
What is it?
What do you think? What do you think the line is?
Man, Cleveland looked awfully good. They're in Cleveland?
Yep.
I think Cleveland's going to be 10.5?
12.
Okay. Fair. They're I was 12. Hoping it'd be lower.
Yeah, they're 12, and I don't know. Here's the deal: is
that's still a lot.
Well, here's the deal, though. Too is I think they're more talented, and you got to give them credit where credit is due. They got middle of the road guys. We said they didn't get any, but I don't know how Nick Caserio could have brought in a premier. Oh my goodness, a guy who can't wait to get to Houston, Texas to play football because they're just not good enough to get. A premier free agent. When Desmond King, they brought in. Christian Kirksey, they brought in. Terrence Mitchell, they brought in. They brought in Grugier Hill, Taylor, Collins, Martin, Smith, not Martin, but Smith and Jenkins and Walker. All of these guys, mediocre. But you know what? They're more talented than they were last year.
Yeah.
It's not even arguable.
Yeah.
And Vernon Hargraves played better yesterday than he probably did any game last year.
Yeah, and once again.
And a lot of that is what? Is how much zone did they play yesterday?
I got to check and see.
A bunch.
Felt like a lot more, though. And they're going to have to.
They're going to have to. And you know what? Lovey knows that.
Lovey plays
it.
Lovey's
fine. They went from blitz, man looks, and they dropped guys, and they had Trevor Lawrence confused. For the most part, they came at him with four guys, and the four guys wouldn't get to him. They only got what? How many sacks did they get? One? Yeah. Whitney Merciless was the only sack they got all day, but they hurried him. They harassed him. They moved him out of the pocket. They came up the middle on him, and a young quarterback. And then when you've got seven guys in coverage and in zone coverage, he's going to make mistakes, especially a guy that doesn't have any experience like he doesn't have. His first game at the NFL level, it's going to slow down for Trevor Lawrence, and he's going to be a pain in the ass for years to come in this division. But Lovie Smith could not have played that better yesterday, and especially with the talent that he has. It's a bunch of middle-of-the-road guys, and I think we'll see next week. You know, we don't want to get too excited about it, but the Browns looked really, really good. Can run the football. Baker looked really good yesterday.
It's going to be tough. The question you have is, if I look at the Browns' schedule, here's what I'm interested in from a handicapping standpoint. I think one of the things you could look towards is, so their third game, Texans, and then they got the Bears coming in. You might look at that as a sandwich game. You just came off of a highly emotional game against Kansas City. Texans coming in. I don't think that the Browns players are going to look at that as a dangerous game. Although the Texans beating Jacksonville the way they did certainly will have the coaches' attention a little bit more. Then you got the Bears coming in after that. I could see the Browns maybe letting down after last week. But even so, I'm not sure the Texans are going to be able to stop that running game. That is a potent team. Baker Mayfield looked good yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
They were going for everything. After their first touchdown, they went for two and got it. Like, I've never seen anyone do that.
Well, they had a penalty and got down to the one.
Yeah, I still think I would have just taken the point.
Yeah.
But all coaches now are, but I don't see the advantage of, unless you say the advantage is, and I'm sure this is what they're thinking, it's Kansas City.
Hey,
we need every point we can get. They went for it on fourth down that same drive.
Here's the deal. It helped them cover that 5.5. Because if they didn't do that, it would have been a 6-point game.
It looked like they were going to win. It looked like they were going to win at one point in Kansas City in the
fourth
quarter.
Until they dropped that punt. Holy crap.
The punter. Rugby kick it. He had plenty of time to pick it up.
He didn't.
He freaked out. Like every college punter.
He was worried about his hair flowing in the wind.
I know.
My biggest regret of the weekend was they were Kansas City's down 12. You still got the rest of the second half to go. And on my bookie, they were plus like 250 to win money line. And I was like, you can never bet against Patrick Mahomes.
No,
I think
you can't.
Pull it out. And I had it in my cart, and I put my phone down to go let my dog out. Came back, it was gone.
Game's off.
Oh, my gosh. Well, here's the deal. As you see, Aaron was on my bookie, and you, my friends, can get on my bookie, too. And here's the deal. Football season is here, and you want to bet. You're looking at it like Aaron is, and you said, oh, man, I could have made so much money. I knew the Texans were going to win. I knew that the Chiefs would come back and win. I knew that the Saints would kick the Packers' ass. You didn't know any of that. But you might have. Hey, you know all those people. Did you have? We got a lot of them here. Bet on your team. How do you bet on your team? You go to mybookie.ag, promo code BET975. And when you deposit up to $1,000. You don't have to put $1,000 in. You can put $100, $200, $500, $1,000. Whatever you want to put in, they will match that. So you'll have double that to bet. It is so much fun. I hit yesterday on the Texans. You can hit too. All you got to do, you know football. You love football. This is the time you want to bet. They got everything else you could possibly bet. You want to bet on your Astros? You can do that too. All you got to do is go to mybookie.ag, promo code BET975. Now, when you put that promo code in, you're going to find it. They'll give you options to go to all different stuff. But you got to find the promo code BET975 and get that match up to $1,000 right now at mybookie.
This is ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. The conversation continues on the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
So do you see the sign at the game, the guys, we don't need Deshaun? Well, according to Jay Glazer, you're never going to have Deshaun again. Jay Glazer detailed the...
What?
Yeah.
Deshaun's not coming back?
Apparently.
Is he starting next week?
Apparently.
Can you believe he was inactive yesterday? There's major stories breaking about Deshaun left and right.
Well, there were a couple, actually.
Stupid-ass stuff.
There were a couple. Actually, there were a couple stories.
This is one of the only ones.
And here's Jay Glazer.
This is the only story.
Recounting Deshaun and the Texans having a chance to trade him.
I don't see a scenario where Deshaun Watson ever plays for the Texans again. And the wild part is he's still working out for the team because he's still on their active roster, but they're keeping him separated from everybody else on the roster. They want this to be Tyrod Taylor's team. Lately, they've let it be known that, well, he could be traded for three ones plus a combination of three picks or players. They already had that. They had three ones and three threes going into the NFL draft. They had four teams who were really interested back then. They said, absolutely not. We're not trading him. Weren't taking any of the offers. I think that they really overshot their step in this.
Sounds like it, to say the least.
And those four teams, most of them have all dropped out, by the way.
That's not going to help him going forward. Of course, he's got to get his legal issues taken care of first.
Well, says you, first of all. First of all, says you that they're not going to get, that they may have, I don't know if he put that, if that was the right, I'm not sure. Anyway, they may have, but or they may get a hell of a lot more. We'll see before the next draft. Maybe that package to whatever weren't the draft picks that they're looking for. We'll find out what Deshaun is worth before next draft. I don't mind Nick Caserio playing this hand close to tight to the vest. I don't mind it at all because I think he's going to win in the long run. And the way that they've gone about this thing, as opposed to just, you know, taking whatever, even if it's penny. I don't think, listen, if there were multiple teams that offered three firsts and three thirds, four teams, he's saying, I ain't buying that.
No.
I ain't buying it.
And Jay Glazer's somebody I typically trust, but I, you know, I have a hard time with that one too. And I don't think that's coming from Nick Caserio. So who's it coming from? Probably coming from David Mulligan.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mulgeta to get people talking, stir up the pot. But the Texans,
Nick Caserio ain't telling Jay Glazer nothing.
No, let me tell you what's going on here is David Mulgeta knows that Deshaun Watson's able to play. Right now, he's able to play. There is no suspensions right now. And he's probably like, God, we would love to get him traded and get him out of there. Tua got a W. Jalen Hurts looked terrific. Those are two of the teams we hear most about. Teddy Bridgewater
got a W, though.
Tua was incredible.
Tua should not have gotten a W if it's not for Damian Harris fumbling with 4 minutes left.
I liked it.
You did? I didn't.
I liked it.
I didn't like it at all. But here's the deal is it's fine right now. The NFL doesn't have to do anything with Deshaun. You say, oh, well, he could – if he was going to another place where he would be on the field, there's a chance that the NFL would have to act. Right now – the Texans couldn't be doing a better the NFL a bigger favor than sitting Deshaun, and he's on the inactive list, and everybody is happy about that because they don't have to address the Deshaun situation until he's criminally charged and the NFL can actually investigate to the fullest. This is the best situation they could possibly have. Now, apparently, according to Adam Schefter, the Texans are looking for a combo of six players, draft picks and players, or high draft picks, firsts and seconds. I don't know where this is all. Where are they coming up with this on game day? You know what I'm saying? Where is it all of this coming from? This has to be coming from Mulligetta. To put it out there so that there's maybe drum up some interest in Deshaun Watson, but it ain't happening. People, can we just stop with all this crap? Just stop. Let's just watch this football season unfold without Deshaun Watson. He ain't playing this year anywhere.
No, he's not playing. And the other thing is, I mean, it really is right now. Deshaun's camp is trying to get him moved.
Yeah,
I mean, they want to create something. We always said this, everyone, well, Deshaun's got all the leverage. Does it look like it now? Where's Deshaun's leverage now? Everyone who thought Deshaun had all this leverage, the Texans, and it was always going to be the case, they moved on, and they will wait until they get proper value. And this is 100% exactly what Nick should be doing.
If you want to move him, wouldn't you leak that, oh, well, they don't want that much? If you tell somebody, any team that was interested, you go, well, they want six real players for Watson, don't you immediately go,
well, teams already know.
No way.
They know what the value is.
Teams know what the
value
is. They've
already been told no. Allegedly,
by Jay Glazer, they've already said no to three firsts and three thirds.
Well, you wouldn't.
You know what the value is.
Well, you wouldn't say yes during all this stuff that still hangs over them. and a suspension that still hangs over him.
No.
NFL teams already know. This is a non-story. But what it's meant to do is drum up public outcry or public discussions about how could the Texans not take that? And I saw it, and people bit on it. Oh, what a bunch of dumbasses. The Texans turned that down. Nick Caserio knows what the value for Deshaun is, and so do other teams. And other teams know, the other teams would love to have Deshaun right now for a whistle and a song, but the Texans are not going to do it. Hopefully, they're going to stay smart, and Deshaun's just going to have to sit out this year. Deshaun will miss this year, and then he'll miss six games the next year, and that's how it will go, unless they come down with a suspension this year, which wouldn't be the end of the world. Actually, I would like it better because it increases his value next
absolutely.
Year.
Absolutely. No. When
Deshaun
you know
right now to me is a commodity that the Texans need to flip the house for as much as they can get.
That's all. They have not overplayed their hand yet either. I couldn't disagree more with the Fox crew. By the way, that Jay Glazer sound was brought to you by Fox. So the crowd at the beginning of the game was sparse, to say the least. It looked like there were more fans, but this is a typical Texans game. This is a typical Texan fan doesn't show up for the game until the game is already midway through the first quarter. It looked like that there were fans in the seats. It appeared that there were more fans in the seats than I expected.
When was this?
At the beginning of the game. Did you see the picture?
I saw the kickoff picture. Didn't look like there's a lot of seats.
No, there weren't a lot of
people. You're talking about later on.
But
that's always been the case.
That's always the case.
But that's less than it used to be. Way less.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, there's a lot less excitement. However.
So people who were there thought it was 58.
However, after watching that game and seeing this team, is there maybe a little bit more excitement for this football team? I would say the answer is yes.
I think more interest in a Sunday. You've got more interest in this team. Excitement is a strong word. More interest,
yes.
I think there's more interest. Okay. It could build to excitement if you go and beat Cleveland.
The tickets were as low as, to get into the game, be right before game time, $8. $8 to get to get into the football game.
Mm-hmm.
The product that we saw yesterday was worth an $8 ticket. You're going to be able to go, okay, their next game is home on September 23rd against the Carolina Panthers on a Thursday night. There will be more than half, much more than half. I think it'll be three-quarter full on Thursday night. I really do. If they get blown out by Cleveland, that's another story probably. But if they hold their own against the Browns, I really believe that there could be more than three quarters of a stadium full here. You don't even have to tarp any of the upper deck.
But you're shooting for the stars.
I am shooting for the stars.
I think it could be three quarters full.
I'm trying. I think for me,
the attendance is not. I think the attendance is important because it's an indicator, and I know Cal won't care, but it's an indicator of the apathy that has set in for Texans fans, and it's been coming, and a large part of that was Bill O'Brien. Until you're a team that fans feel like can win, regardless of Jack Easterby or Cal McNair or whatever, right now people know that this team is not a serious contender for anything. They're not going to make the playoffs. But I think you can celebrate when they win. I think you can talk about that and the good things. I don't think, you know, what they're doing right now, this is just kind of a bunch of Band-Aid guys are in here, and I'm interested to see how David Culley does. And he seems like a great guy. I wanted to see him have some success. To me, it's about guys like Ross Blacklock. It's about guys like not even Mark Ingram. You know, he's just another rental running back. But it's about guys like Nico Collins. About Blacklock, Nico almost had a great touchdown catch, but came down with his butt out of bounds. But it's about those guys. It's about everyone. You know, every once in a while you'll see a guy, him. Well, next year, over the next 2 years, you have a lot of
Brevin Jordan active.
Yeah. It would inactive tight end wasn't great, but I think you're going to see once you start getting first round picks in again. It's been a long time, but once you start seeing first round picks and more talented players and name brand players in here, I think things can turn around and change for you. Right now, I have no expectation for the Texans at all. My expectations are low. When they hit that bar or go over that bar, I want to praise them and tell, because I've taken plenty of shots at them, but it's not personal. It's just the way I see it. And So when they do well, I want to be consistent and call it, you know. And it's okay if you hate the Texans or Cal McNair or all that. We all know that there's limitations with Cal McNair as owner. That's just a fact. But if the players play well, I want to say the players play well. They did yesterday.
And they did. They absolutely did. And I disagree with you wholeheartedly, Art. They're getting blown out. Stop, JG. More excited. By all accounts, do I say by all accounts all the time? Did by all accounts put this in your ear? They're getting blown out the rest of the way. Stop. No, they're not. They're actually...
I don't think they are.
Now, the middle of the road teams and the poorer teams, they're going to play with this year. They are going to play, maybe not well, but they're going to be able to play. They're actually a football team that can compete with middle of the road down. The upper echelon teams, we'll see. We got an upper echelon team coming up this week. We also got an upper echelon team that actually won 2 out of 3 games this weekend. And we'll talk about them on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But right now we're talking about Doc Linville, and we're talking about beautiful hair. If you're on Twitch right now, you can see. It doesn't move per se. Well, it doesn't
move. Stop flipping your hair.
Yeah, it doesn't move like I would like, but only because, you know, I pasted it down because I'm going for the Pat Riley kind of thing going on. But I'm able to do that as opposed to a mangy dog look I used to have with no hair on the top of my head. It was patchy and horrible and just actually it was laughable because a lot of my friends would laugh at me. They're not laughing anymore. What they're saying is, man, that Doc Linville, he is something special. And you'll say that too about him. You're going to love Doc. He has got the laser side manner. And I don't know if it's a neo grafting thing. It's not a laser per se, but he has got a neo grafting manner that is unbelievable. And if you're looking for the great process and you're looking for great results, because that's the important thing, with minimal pain, all you got to do is go to 975hair.com. That's 975hair.com.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5. The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So, did you see the numbers? Have you seen the numbers between Kyle Tucker and Alex Bregman?
Yeah, I'm a numbers guy.
Okay. What were they?
They were high.
They were high?
Yeah. The numbers between them are impressive. If I had to say in one word, impressive.
Since Alex Bregman got back on August 25th.
Yep.
He and Kyle Tucker
are killing it.
He and Kyle Tucker have been on base Kyle Tucker only one game. Only one game. Kyle Tucker went 0-for-4 and didn't get on base. Alex Bregman, all 15 games, he's been on base every game.
Yeah.
And Tucker only once. Didn't get on base.
Walks and hits.
Well, and with Bregman, he's hit in 13 of the 15, and he only had the only other two games he walked once, in 0-for-2 and an 0-for-3.
Once again, 2 of 27 with the Skeeters, and there's question about him coming back. They said, you know, the time they wanted to work on timing. The quad was fine, and my thought was, oh man, he missed a lot of time. Right, 2 months. You're thinking this guy's going to be really, really rusty. No, he hasn't been really rusty. He came out and had 2 hits the first game back. And ever since then, he's been on a tear. Like Bregman. And how good does that feel to have Bregman? So Bregman, Tucker, and Altuve hit a couple home runs in back-to-back games last week. I mean, it feels like you might see it all start to come together. All the pieces are in place for you right now.
Tucker,
is there somebody I'm missing right now? Everyone's in place.
Tucker, since Bregman's gotten back, 10 multi-hit games. A homer again yesterday.
He's got 10 multi-hit games.
10. Since Bregman got back, he's added 50 points to his OPS. Since Bregman got back, Bregman's added 29 points to his OPS.
Are they best friends?
They're the best duo in baseball right now.
Are they best friends?
They're besties, yeah. Of course they're besties. You know, when Kyle Tucker got up, there his first stint with the team, there were behind the scenes, he didn't work hard. He wasn't a hard worker.
Oh, really?
I just hit. That's what I do.
Kind of just skated by on natural ability.
Yeah, natural ability. Since then, he has really worked, and he's got a 902. He and Bregman have identical 293 averages right now.
It's 14th in the league in OPS right now.
And 902 OPS. 902 OPS. 900 is a really good OPS. Really good for the season. Now, Lance Berkman has a 943 career OPS, but that's another story.
So I'm going to go to Doug's
but
stats.
But he's not a Hall of Famer, you voting idiots.
I'm going to go to Doug's stats to go to last 20 games. I don't know if they have yesterday's game in there yet. The Astros 11-9. Over the last 20 games, your close personal friend, Kyle Tucker's on-base percentage is .452. His slugging is .702.
Wow.
He's hitting .421. Over the last 20 games, he has an .1154. That's 20 games.
Now look at Bregman.
He's played in 16 of those games. Yeah. Bregman has played in 14 of those games. He's got a .439 on-base percentage, lower. .560 slugging percentage, lower. So that would put him at...
But the combination of the two?
.999 OPS and in a batting average of .380. Right now, Kyle Tucker is the MVP of the league.
Well, the combination of the two is the best 1-2 punch right now in baseball. Bregman and Tucker.
And Tucker in those 16 games only has two home runs. Like, it's not like he's just bombing out. He's consistently hitting the ball hard.
Yeah.
He's got 6 doubles, 2 triples, 2 home runs. He's got 10 of his hits are for extra bases. 10 of his hits in he's 10 of his 24 hits. 10 hits and 57 at bats are extra base hits. That is crazy. And that's how you get the slugging percentage up there at over .702.
So you got some pitching this weekend. Fromber didn't look great, but you knocked a snot out of Ohtani and put up a 10 spot. Then Garcia did not look very good at all early on, gave up 4 runs. They settled down, but they couldn't score any. They lost 4-2. But then Lance McCullers looked really good yesterday, and you won a 3-1 game, hard-fought 3-1 game yesterday. And I'll tell you, Barria, holy crap, that guy looks good. Holy cow. So you were able to win a game. You were able to take 2 out of 3 against a vaunted team that, you know what? You're not going to be able to do that against a team as good as the Angels.
Do you know over his last 18 games, Michael Brantley's got an OPS of .598?
Yeah, he's really been struggling. He's been
struggling. I didn't realize it was like that. And Chaz McCormick is really struggling right now.
Yeah. Chaz McCormick. See, and here's the thing. Since Chaz McCormick has come back, Myers has been struggling because he's in and out of the lineup so much. He's got it. But you know what? When Myers was going, when McCormick was out, Myers was playing every day, and Myers was coming up with big hits. Now he's platooning them, and it's so hard for either of those two guys to get going. I was a big McCormick guy, and I wanted to see, you know, him out there as opposed to Miles Straw. But, man, Myers deserves that shot to go out there every day. Yeah. He's a better center fielder. Faster. What about the catch that he made, the running catch that he made?
Yeah, he's got some range. He seems to see it off the off the bat quicker, too. Like, he feels like a much more natural center fielder than McCormick.
Yeah, so I'd like to see him get some continuity. Just put the kid out there every day. McCormick can pinch hit. Aledmys Diaz has got to find a place where he can come in every day. Marwin Gonzalez, he had the homer last week on Wednesday on the getaway day that they lost. But he's scuffling, Marwin Gonzalez. But get your lineup out there. Now it's time for everybody to get into a nice groove. And now it's time for everybody to start. You know what? Get in. Let's go, because the playoffs are a couple, 3 weeks away. You only got this 4 game against Texas, then Arizona, then at Los Angeles, and then you got those 9 games against Oakland and Tampa Bay to finish up the season. We're coming down the stretch. We're coming down the stretch here at 24 games over .500. Still it's still you're still in a battle with the White Sox. You're going to win the division, but you're still in a battle for with the White Sox. You want that home field advantage against the White Sox.
Absolutely. And speaking of the Astros, you know, I want to speak about a new advertiser that you guys I am so excited about this guy. So Mike is he used to work for the Astros, right? He was in the business side. And he saw the way tickets were done. He said, "You know what? They can be done better." He started after years of being over there. He started his own business called SimpleSeats.com. Simple Seats. And why I'm so excited about this, I'll give you an example. Right now, you can get into the stadium for $20 on September 17th, $20 for 18th, and $10 on the 19th, all against the Diamondbacks. They only focus on Houston/Texas area teams. Soon, the Longhorns are going to be added here. They got Cougars. They got Texas A&M is coming soon. They've already got the I saw the prices for the Alabama game. Houston Texans, the Houston Astros. These are all tickets that you can get, and this is the thing that's going to blow you away, and this is why I love talking about them. There's no fees. No fees at all. They've got zone seating options, so you can pick a zone. They'll pick the seat for you, and they do it for discounts. Fans can save even more, or you can pick your exact seat if you're looking for. Other ticket sites are going to surprise you at checkout with those additional fees of 30% or higher. Never at Simple Seats. It's only the price that they have for the tickets. They're never going to have any additional fees. The better prices are with Simple Seats. Simple Seats, better prices, no fees. It's that simple. Go check them out right now at SimpleSeats.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.